Okay, so we're holding on Yud Omen Aleph, the fourth line. We've been discussing that in the first Mishnah of Or Masechta, we had a couple of things in which Bishama was Mako and Basil was Machmer. One of them that we're focusing on particularly is that Bishama allows you to Shecht on Yom Tov without having Ofer Muchon, as long as you have Deco notes, a spade already stuck in the ground before Yom Tov. And Basil says you need the dirt to actually be Muchon. The other machlokes in that Mishnah also Bishama is Mako, but those were not focusing on because the beta should know the Yom Tov is not, it's not really a matter of Simchas Yom Tov to be able to eat the egg, and the one about chametz and so'or is not relevant to the halachas of Yom Tov in general. So the Gemara has been asking then that throughout the rest of the Perek, though, we find the other way around that Bishama is Machmir. If, for example, in our Mishnah, where they're saying that you can't carry the ladder from one shiva, from one birdhouse to another, only move it over from one window to another. So why is that? So we started saying that Rabbi Yochanan wants to say that the shittas are flipped around, that one or the other of these Mishnayas, that some of these Mishnayas have to be flipped around. According to Rashi, it would be all the ones from our Mishnah onward, and according to Tosfos, it would be the one about Hashechet Chayiv Oif B'Yamtiv. Anyway, but each one, so far, we went through a couple of them, and we said not necessarily, because there is actually a reason we can't actually understand Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel as being consistent, in the case of the latter, is Bes Shammai, after all, by the Shechet Chayiv Oif, there is a Deco note, by the latter there's not, and people are going to think that he's carrying it in order to fix his roof, like we said yesterday, and Bes Hillel, on the other hand, says the fact that he has a Shoivach demonstrates not. And we went through a couple more examples like that, where we see where Bes Shammai is being Machmer, and the Gemara says by each one of them, not necessarily does that have to demonstrate the Chlefes Hashita. You could say that each time Bes Shammai has a reason to be Machmer there, that wouldn't apply by Shechet Chayiv Oif B'Yamtiv. So the Gemara says, Ela Ikasha Hokasha. If there's a question, that something where Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel seem to be contradicting themselves, then it would be from the following Mishnah, which we'll learn tomorrow about Hashem. Bes Shammai says you're not allowed to take an eli to chop meat on. And an eli is a big, heavy wooden board. Usually you use it for pounding wheat. Usually they had dishes out of cracked wheat in those days called taugis and chilki and tisni and whatever, depending on how finely they break up the wheat grains, and you would use this eli, which is a big heavy wooden board, to do that on it. So therefore, now it's a klisha malach de le'isur, because even though malachas eichel nefesh is mutter on yomtiv, this making this chilka and taugis and so forth is not mutter on yomtiv. As we discussed, we discussed briefly at the beginning of the Masechta, various possibilities. Is it because there are only certain malachas eichel nefesh that are mutter on Yom Tov d'oraisa, or is it because the Chachamim didn't want us to, the Chachamim restricted ones that could have been done before Yom Tov without any loss of quality or flavor or what have you, and this would be an example of that. Whatever the case, the Eli is a klisha malach de le'isur, so therefore it's mukta. So Bes Shammai says you're not allowed to take it to use it for a different purpose to chop meat on it. In other words, they're saying you're not allowed to even tzarech gufo. Or Bes Hillel matirin, whereas Bes Hillel says it's mutter. So we'll talk about that more tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and what grounds exactly. It's mukta, because you could take the view that's klisha malach de le'isur. You could also take the view that's mukta machmas chisor and pis, which has different rules. So we'll get back to that tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Anyway, alma gabis simchas yomtev bes shamer lechumra bes hillel lekula. So you see again that when it comes to simchas yomtev, bes hillel is going to be mekel, and they're going to say yes, even though this is a klisha malach de le'isur, we're still going to allow you to move it for this purpose of simchas yomtev, to be able to chop meat for your yomtev table. And Bes Hillel and Bes Shammai is going to be Machmer. Urmini, Ashechet Chayiv Oit, Beshamei Chola. On the other hand, why is it by the Shechita, Beshamei are the ones who are being maple? So then, Om Rabbi Yechanan Mokhlefes Ashechita. So now, Rabbi Yechanan wants to say, therefore, that we have to flip around some of these Mishnayos. Either, according to Rashi, we'd have to flip around the one about the Eli and say that this Hillel would not allow it, Beshamei would, or according to Tosfos, we'd flip around the one about Ashechet Chayiv Oit, Beyamtiv. And again, the Gemara says, Mimai, who says that that's necessary? Dilma Lohi, maybe that's not a valid comparison. Ad kam lakam beshamei hosmet leika deker notes. Again, we said before on Zion and Beis that beshamei requires deker notes. The spade already has to be stuck into the ground beforehand. So therefore, you already have the beginning of digging. And therefore they don't have a problem with the rest of it. But in the case of the Eli, there's no corresponding deco note. The fact is the Keli is Musa. So therefore they're gonna say not. Inami, and furthermore, as far as this Hillel, Adkan Lakami this Hillel Hacha Eladi Ikatoras Kliolov, this Hillel is gonna say, you know what? Fine, the Eli is Mukta. The fact is it does have the form and the function of a Keli. It's a Keli Shemalach Dele Isu, fine, but it's still a Keli. So there, and the usual rule is that a klisha malachta l'isur, you are allowed to move l'tzarech gufoy amakaymoy. For example, the Mishnah in Shabbos tells us you're allowed to take a hammer and use it to crack nuts, let's say. So the same thing over here, they're going to allow it for that reason. Aval hosam loy. But over there, there's no toras kli to talk about, and therefore they're going to say no. So there's no reason to say that Mishnah of the Eli and the one about Hashoch Chayiv Oif should contradict each other and have to say that anything should be flipped around. Ela e kasha ha kasha. So rather, if we have to ask,
what's the reason exactly?
So the reason is, with each one of these, we're saying that when the shama is mekel by the shchita, is because there's deker notes. They're saying we're only allowing it anyway if the shovel is stuck into the ground, meaning that the beginning of the malacha was already done before Yom Tov. It's already said that it's loose dirt as well, but because the spade is already stuck in, therefore it's as if it's the chafira, the digging was already begun, and therefore you can continue it on Yom Tov. It's not considered a full malacha. We talked about yesterday also something that Rashba says on it, that it's like when you're making an oil, if you have part of the oil extended, then you can do the rest of it. So when you have that, then this shama can be makel. By the case of the Eli over here, you have no such thing. And vice versa, this Hillel is going to say that the fact is the Eli is a Keli, therefore the usual rules of Mukta are going to apply to it. A Kli Shemalachta Le'isu, you're allowed to move sort of Gufoy Mekoyim, right? Therefore that's what applies here also. So we'll talk about tomorrow, Beth Hashem, what about on the possibility that it's actually a Mukta Machnas Chisorin Kiss that has stricter rules. So we'll get back to that tomorrow, Beth Hashem. But anyway, since it's a Kalim, then therefore the rules of Kalim apply and you can move it on Yom Tov. But over there, you don't have anything like that. So therefore, yeah. Ela e kasha ha kasha. Rather, if we're going to have a question, it's going to be as follows. The next Mishnah says, the shama omim ein nosin es or lifnei adorson. You're not, let's say you shechted an animal on Yom Tov. Now, what are you going to do with the skin? You stripped it off the animal. That, of course, you're allowed to do on Yom Tov because that's melechas eichel nefesh also. You need it in order to eat meat. But what do you do with the skin? Normally, what you would do is you want to tan it. You can't tan skin on Yom Tov. So the Shammai says you can't put it down in a place where people are going to step on it, which is the first stage of tanning it. V'loyag vihenu, and in fact, you're not even allowed to pick up the skin, says the Shammai, Elim Ken Yeshal of Kazayas Basar, unless there's still a Kazayas of meat attached to it, where then the skin is like a handle for it. But otherwise, the raw skin itself has no use on Yom Tov, and therefore it's Mutter. Or Basil Matirin. Basil says both of those things are Mutter. You're allowed to pick it up, and you're allowed to put it down someplace where people will step on it. So again, now this is a matter of Simchas Yom Tov, because if he can't do anything with the skin is expensive after all, he may not bother shechting in the first place and not have Simchas Yom Tov. And we see nevertheless that Shammai is being machmer, or Mini Ashechet Chayva Oif Yom Tov. So why are they being makel by Ashechet Chayva Oif? And again, Amr Rav Yechid, Mokhlef is Ashika, and it's flipped around. And again, the Gemara says, Mimai. Not necessarily, who says that that's a valid comparison such that you should have to say Mukhlef is Ashika? Dilma Lohi, maybe not so. Ad kan lakam v'shamei hosmei l'adei heichad de'ika deker notes. Again, there at least they have deker notes. Aval heichad de'leka deker notes loy. In the case of the skin, you have nothing comparable to a deker note. No beginning of a malacha that was done before Yom Tov where then you can say that now you're only continuing it. So when the Aval Hecha de Leka Deko No, it's loy. When there's no Deko No, then they won't. Inami, and furthermore, Ad Kama Kama Beshilo Hocha, Ela Bechazi Lemizgala Ilavei. The fact is, Beshilo says, you know why you're allowed to move the skin? Because even on Yom Tov itself, it has a use. You could spread it out on the ground and recline on it, to lay on it as it is. In fact, the Shittim Kubetza says that really is the crux of the Machloikas between the Shama and the Silo. You could do that, but you wouldn't normally do that with a raw skin. You would at least tan it a little bit first. So the Shama is going to say, that's not really, it's not chazi for anything yet. Whereas the Silo is going to say, you know what, I get chak it is, so therefore that's good enough for us to be able to handle it on Yom Tov. Aval Hosam Loi, or in the case of Shchita, you don't have such a thing, so therefore they'd be Machloikas. Ela'i kasha ha-kasha. So note, if we're going to have a question between the Shnayas and our Perek, then it's going to be from the next one. Now, these Tristan, we have to give a little background. Rashi explains like this. These stores, first of all, the stores that we're talking about, we're going to explain later, we're going to explain over here and later in the Gemara, are not, they're not buildings. They're more like stalls, like movable stalls that they bring to the marketplace at times, and then sometimes they move them someplace else.
Like in Yishuv
Yerushalayim, like in other places, yeah. So now, so you have the opening of them, the window where you're going to serve the customers at night. It's closed up with a tris, with a shutter. Then in the morning, when you open up the store, you take down the shutter, you put it. On the window sill over there, and that becomes your counter, and that's what you serve the customers on. So now the question is, now the question is that you're taking off the shutter and putting it back on. Is that a matter? Is that a problem of binyan? So Beshama in Masalkin is a tris in the yomtiv. Beshama says you're not allowed to take down these tris and these shutters on yomtiv from these stalls. Or Basil Matur and Aflahasu. Basil says not only are you allowed to take them down, you're even allowed to put them back at the end of the day. Now, of course, Almagabes Simchas Yomtev, Beshama Lachumra, Beshil Lakula, Beshil is going to be Nakel because of Simchas Yomtev. Now, obviously, you can't pay money on Yomtev. So Rashi stresses over here, what you do is this is a storekeeper who you know, and we're going to learn later on, we're going to learn in the second or third parak of our Masechta, you can't mention a specific dollar amount that you want to buy from him. You can't say, for example, I already bought from you 20 on credit. Now I'm going to buy another 10 more and we'll have 30 on credit altogether, whatever. But, you have ways in which you are allowed to buy things on Yom Tov. In particular, later on when we discuss this Mishnah and the Gemara on it, we're going to see these stores were mainly, they sold spices out of such stores. So you want spices from there to be able to flavor your Yom Tov dishes. So Beis Hillel is going to allow you to take off the tirsin and even to return them. The Gemara is going to mention later, this is one of those examples of Yitiru Seifer Mishum Tchilosan. The Chachamim allow you to put back the tirsin because if you're not allowed to, you're not going to take them down in the first place. What, you're going to want to leave your stall open all night? Then they're not going to want to open their stores and people aren't going to have Simchas Yom Tov. So we see that Beis Hillel is being makel when it comes to Simchas Yom Tov, and the Shammai is being machner, or the Minyash Shechet Chayvay for Yom Tov. On the other hand, when it comes to Shechita, the other way around. They'd have to check with that day, right. So the Gemara says, okay, Bishlema Bishamai Abishamai like Kasha. The fact is, okay, we can answer like we've been answering all along that Bishamai is not really contradicting themselves because of the Ika Deko notes, or like a Deko notes. Again, when it comes to the shechting, at least you have a Deko notes. You already have the shovel stuck in the ground to begin the digging for the dirt. Whereas over here, you don't have any such parallel thing. Therefore, they're going to answer it. In other words, Rashi says, because they hold yesh binyan v'kalim, that the concept of binyan and stira applies to kalim just as much as it does to buildings. Ela b'shilol b'shilol kasha. But what about b'shilol? Why is it that by shchita they're machmir and over here they're mekel? So here's where Rabbi Yechanan says that it's flipped around. So evidently you have to flip around one or the other of those Mishnayos in order to make the Shama and the Sibyl be consistent with themselves. However, the Gemara says, Inami or Dilma Loihi, maybe not. Ad kam la kami b'shilu hocha el mishum de ein binyan b'kelim de ein stira b'kelim. Maybe what it is b'shilu, in fact, disagrees on that premise. B'shilu hold that there is no binyan and stira b'kelim. Therefore, these things, again, they're not fixed to the ground, they're movable stalls, so they're taking off the tris and putting them on is is only a keli. So therefore, so the chachamim are going to allow it for Yom Tov, for Simchas Yom Tov. Aval hasam loy, but over there, when it comes to the digging, this hillel is still going to be concerned about that the fact is you're digging on Yom Tov, which you can't do, and you might do ksisha, as we said, you might crumble up the dirt. Now, an important point over here is there are different yusois among the Rishonim whether we have this last line in the Gemara or not. Rashi and Tosfos apparently do not have this last line and a half in the Gemara, and they end off with Rabbi Yechonon's Mukhlefes Hashita, so according to them, that's the Maskana. So at least in that Mishnah, we have to, at least in one or the other of those Mishnayos, either the one about the Trisin or the one about the Shechita, we have to flip around the opinions. On the other hand, the Rif and the Rambam and others do have it, as we have it over here in front of us in the Gemara. So that's Negeya, of course, La Halacha. When it comes to the case of the Trisin, are we allowing it or are we not? And when it comes to the Shechita, are we allowing it or are we not? If we leave the Mishnayos as they are, as we have them in front of them, then it comes out, when it comes to the Shechita of the Chayav Oif and the Halachas like this Hillel, only if you have Ofer Mochon with Oid Yom are you allowed to, which is what Tosfos brings about why do they require Hachana? They think, as Tosfos had said yesterday, Rabbi Natan had said, people mistakenly think that the Mishnah of Ashrecha Chayav Oif Yomtev remains as is, where really that's the one that the Gemara is finishing off Mukhalafas Hashita, and therefore it comes out that only according to Bes Shammai would you need dirt to be Mukhan and according to Bes Hillel not. On the other hand, according to the Rif and the Rambam, no Mishnayos are being flipped around. So when it comes to the Shechita, you do need an offer Mukhan, and when it comes to the Trisin, you're allowed to take them off and put them back on. Because Ein Binyan V'Kelim, Ein Tzidur V'Kelim. Mind you, by the way, Rashi and Tosfos discuss in some other places in Shas, in particular, of course, in the Sefer Shabbos, this Ein Binyan V'Kelim, Ein Tzidur V'Kelim is not so simple anyway. Here we're talking about putting back on or taking off a tris is one particular part of the Kelim. When you have, let's say, if you have a whole Kelim that fell apart and you're going to put it back together, then we would say Yesh Binyan V'Kelim and Yesh Tzidur V'Kelim, because that's something different. No, as a matter of fact, no. In fact, in Adius, we talked about yesterday, in Adius, it lists all the ones where Bes Shammai is making on the Silas Machmer, but afterwards, so first it mentions all the ones that everybody agrees that's, but then you have further in Adius. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shisha Dvarim Mikula Bes Shammai Mechum Bes Hillel. Rabbi Yossi says that there's a certain number of whoever, so yeah, there's a few of them where also they were, yeah. So you can't prove from that. By the way, the Pnei Yeshua points out an interesting point. He says you have a certain raya from the flow of the Gemara for Rashi and Tosfos that they take out the part about Ad Kan L'Kamei Beis Hillel, about the Ein Binyan V'Kelim V'Ein Tzidur V'Kelim, because according to them, then we understand why the Gemara stops at this point. Why doesn't it continue with the other Mishnayos in the Perek? You have more Mishnayos after that, where Bes Shammai is Machmer and Bes Hillel is Mekel. According to the Rif and the Rambam, now that we've entered this one, the Gemara should have gone on to the next one and tried to make Rabbi Yechonon's Mukhlefes Hashita apply to all of them. The fact that it doesn't seems to show that that's it. The Gemara has found one, we're Mukhlefes Hashita, and that's it. We don't need to go find any more after that. Okay. The Mishnah says, this Shammai, now going back to, we talked about then in the previous Mishnah that you're taking a ladder to a shovach, to a birdhouse in order to get birds. So now we have the machloikas about whether you're allowed to bring the ladder there or not. So now we have a further machloikas. This Shammai lo yitzel elein kein niyanamim oydiyim. This Shammai says you're not allowed to take the birds. You're not allowed to take any particular birds on Yom Tov unless you actually pick them up and move them the day before. Vasilo says it's good enough to just stand there before Yom Tov and say, I'm going to take this one and this one. Or not even now. Tadeva says maybe you don't even, according to Vasilo, you don't even necessarily have to say. You think very strongly in your mind that you're going to take these particular ones. However, he adds in that case, whatever the case, you're going to need a Tvius Ayin. You're going to need some kind of simon or Tvius Ayin on the birds in order to make sure that you take the right ones tomorrow. Okay. Something else says, Amar of Chanan Ba'ani, Machloikas Bibricha Rishoina. The whole Machloikas, the Shana Vesilo, is specifically about the first pair of young. Now, the way it works, Sir Rashi explains, is that, doves or whatever, like we're talking about over here, give birth to a pair of birds every month, most months of the year. And so now what happens is, so the first pair that's born to a nesting pair, to the parents, you want to keep them with them in order that they keep the mother company. Otherwise, like the Gemara mentions this in Bava Basra as well, you sell doves to somebody else, how many do you have to leave over there? Because the point is, otherwise, if you take away all the children, then the parents are likely to say, they're likely to think, in their little bird brains, what do we need to stay here for? Let's go fly off someplace else. So you want your shoivach to remain populated with birds. So therefore, with each nesting pair, you keep their first babies with them, which is called bricha rishona. So now the machloekas that where Shammai is saying that you have to actually pick them up, and Beis Hillel says it's enough to just verbally say is by this bricha rishona. The Beis Shammai sabri gazrinin yom osi limuchi. So Beis Shammai says what happens is, when he comes to take them the next day on Yom Tov, he may change his mind and say, you know what, this is the Bricha Rishona, it's a pity to take them away from their mother, and therefore, so it comes out that now he picked them up for no reason. As opposed to once he already picked them up the day before, then already, and the day before, he didn't change his mind and say, you know what, this is the Bricha Rishona, how, what am I doing? Then we don't figure he's going to change his mind on Yom Tov itself. Oh, Basil Tzabi, like Gazrin, and Basil says that there's no reason to make such a Zedah. But when it comes to the second pair of birds, you don't have to take from there. It's good. We ran out. When it comes to the bricha shnia, then everybody will agree it's good enough to stand there and say zevazani noto, because the bricha shnia, the second pair, and later of babies, we don't expect that he's going to have such rachmanosan, because the mother doesn't need them so much for company anyway. So now the question is, Beis Hillel, lama le lamei zevazani noto? So why according to Beis Hillel do we even need to say zevazani noto? Lema mikanani noto lamacher? Why according to Beis Hillel wouldn't it be good enough to just say, I'm going to be taken from here tomorrow, generically, without even picking out any particular birds, and the next day he'll go and pick which ones he actually wants? V'chitema Beis Hillel les lehu brera. So you're going to answer, maybe Beis Hillel doesn't hold of the concept of brera, that we're going to say this would be a case of brera, because you'd be saying the next day you want to have, there's a volume of sukkah beta over there. You'd be saying that the next day when you come and pick the birds, retroactively these are the ones that you meant to take the day before. So maybe Beis Hillel doesn't hold of that concept. The problem is we know that they do. V'hotznan. Hames babayis, we learn in the Mishnah, that if you have a mess in a house, v'loips, the house is closed. So Rashi says that, so v'loips sochem habe, the house has many doors. Rashi says all the doors are open and all of them are closed, meaning therefore you don't know which doorway you're going to be taking the mess out through. Actually, Rashash points out a problem with that. If all of them are open, then we're going to be talking about tumma in the doorway. If the doors are open anyway, there's tumma in the doorway because they're part of the oil. So he says psuchim over here maybe means that the doors are closed but not locked. So all the doors are closed but not locked, or all of them are locked. Whatever the case, the point is, therefore, at this point, you don't know which of those doors, or windows for that matter, you're going to end up taking the mess out through. So kulan tmeim, all of those doorways are tamei, so therefore any keli that's underneath the lintel of that door, even though the door is closed and the area within the doorway is outside, nevertheless any kelim in there that are tamei. So what we're going to do once you open, so in other Gemaras it talks about more details about this, that it depends if you have, we learned about this in Eruvin, I think, that if you have one of them is wide and the other ones are narrow, that if one of them is at least four tefachim wide and the other ones are not, then yeah, we assume he's going to take the mess out through that one, then only that one is tummy. Here we're talking about where all the doorways are at least that wide, so therefore there's no particular reason, we don't know that there's any one, that there's any preference for one over the other. Anyway, Rashi uses the expression over here that the Chachamim made a gzera on any place where the Tumah might come out of, and here we don't know. So therefore, all of them. Now, it's interesting that the Hagoyes Marav Ranshburg points out that later on, toward the end of the Masechta, we're going to have the sugya again, because we also have a sugya about Breira over there, and there Rashi says that this matter of the doorways being Tomei is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So what's he saying over here? Gzera de Rabbanon. So there's a number of Achronim talk about back and forth about it. One of them is the Pnei Yeshua has a long explanation of it, that the gist of it is that here we're talking within Rav Chanan Bar Ami's opinion, and he how he's trying to understand Beis Hillel. So within that, you might say that you might argue that this is only a Gzeira D'Rabbanan you're talking about. Whereas over there, and especially because this whole concept, that the Psochim should be Tamei is really a little unusual anyway. So therefore, so we can attribute it to a Gzeira D'Rabbanan. Later on, when we're talking about Breira in a context of Eruvin, where you actually even have opinions of Tanoim that Eruvin are Daraisa, so therefore Rashi mentions over there that it's Halacha Moshe Sinai. It's a longer and more complicated explanation than that, and I don't think I really got the Nekuda of what he's saying, but that's anyway. Okay. Anyway, Niftach Echad Mehen, if one of those doorways gets open, Hu Tomei V'chol and Tahorin, then that doorway is Tomei, all the rest of them are Tahor, because now we know that they're going to take the mess out of that one. Choshev Lahitzia, now so far both Beshama and Bishul agree to everything we said so far. Choshev Lahitzia Be'echad Mehen, what about if he thinks to take out the mess through one of them, or he plans to take out the mess through a window that's at least 4x4 tvachim, matzelas, I'll call up psachim kolam, then that saves all the other doorways. So now any kalim in any of the other doorways remain tahor, and only that one's going to be tamei. So now, when does he have to think that? Beshama says that works only if he had that machshava before the person died. And the civil says even after he died. So presumably the machloikus is about breira. So you're talking about kalim that were there when the person died, and now later on he had this machshava. So Beshama is saying breira doesn't work, and therefore these kalim are tamei. And Basil says breira works, and therefore retroactively these kalim never became tamei. So in that case, Rashi says in that case, but on that assumption, then when we said the kulam tamein and kulam tahurin would refer to kalim that were there after the machshava took place. Anyway, so you see that Beis Hillel holds a breira. Tosfos, by the way, mentions in this connection that one thing is that one possibility is that that if you one possibility is we could be talking about where you made a new door. If it was one of the existing doors, then maybe you should say you don't even need machshava, because if we're going to say breira, then when you open up that door, then it comes out that lamafreya, that was the one that you intended to use. So we could be talking about actually where you made a new door. Or Tosfos says also another possibility is, what if the mess is staying inside there, you're not actually taking it out, or hagoris habach changes nishar to nisrak, the mess was burnt inside the house, so therefore it never ends up getting taken out. So that would be the case when we say that all the psachim are tamei. Anyway, so the Gemara says, no, ha'itmar Allah, no, you should know that there was said on that it's not a matter of breira. Omer Rabba l'tayras ha'psachim mikano labba. No, the machlokas b'shama b'silla is only after the machshava took place. Do we say what happens to any kalim that are placed in that doorway after that, and before the mess is taken out? But both of them agree that we're not doing breira over there. Any kalim that were there until the machshava are going to in fact be tamei. This shama is going to say that once you have the doorways become tamei, then you need a maisa to undo that, namely that you actually open the door, not just that you think of a particular door. Once you open the one door, right? But the point is, you need a maisa as opposed to Basil is going to say machshava is good enough. But nothing to do with breira. V'chein amr Rav Oshia l'tayras ha'psachim mikano labo ein l'machrei aloi. So Rav Oshia says the same thing. So it's nothing to do with breira. So you don't have any proof that Beis Hillel holds of breira. Rava amal olam l'machreya. So Rava says actually that no, in fact, over there it would work for machreya. Nevertheless, so according to the first answer is, in other words, that nobody holds a breira. So fine. That would explain why the Basilo needs to say zebazan minotel, because otherwise you have a problem of breira when you take the bird the next day. But Rava Amar La'olam L'makreya. Rava says no. As a matter of fact, the Sirul does hold that the machshava on the doors is going to work for L'makreya as well, and therefore, so it's a matter of breira. So then, in that case, why does the Sirul say that you have to say zevazani nato? V'hocha einu taima dilma mitalta v'shavik mitalta v'shavik. Because if he doesn't pick out the birds that he wants before yomtiv, then he might. He's going to pick up birds and then put them down, decide he doesn't want them, pick up other ones, decide he doesn't want them, v'kamitalta midud lechazile, and now he's, therefore, he's picking up something that's not suitable for yomtiv. And in other words, therefore, he's handling mukta for not for a purpose of oichel nefesh. Therefore, Bisilul is going to require that he actually says zev zani noto, and then once he already picks them, then we don't think he's going to change his mind so much.
According to Rava, you do say
the. So according to Rava, at least Bisilul does hold a brayer, right?
And does it mean actually that even the tailor that was there before the door opened up or before the machshava?
So that would be
or the pashtus. Or the tailor that you brought from the outside and you put it on the
pashtus, it would mean, if we say that we're talking about greater, then what we mean is the tailor that were there at the time of the machshava, retroactively become, they were never tame in the first place because they were in the doorways that weren't going to be open. Yeah. Okay. So the question is, what do you mean? You're saying that it's good enough to just stand even from far away and not move the birds. So you haven't actually checked which ones are fat and which ones are skinny or whatever. So why aren't we concerned that on Yom Tov itself, you're going to say before Yom Tov, let's say I'm going to take these two black ones. Then on Yom Tov itself, you come and you discover that the two black ones are really scrawny and you're going to say also, I don't want those. And the answer is, Hani Mili Me'ed of Yom Tov. The answer is because when we say Zevazani Noito is when he said that on Erev Yom Tov, that's good enough. So the point is he did it on Erev Yom Tov, so he knows that any other ones are mukta. Therefore, of necessity, he's going to have to take the ones he picked, whether he likes it or not.
But he can't become scrawny in a few
hours. Right. Well, but the point is that before Yom Tov, he didn't necessarily pick them up to check which ones are which. He just said Zebazani Noto. But having done that, he knows already that all the other ones are Mukta, so he's not going to try to take many of them. Alvav Yom Tov also, but if he didn't even say Zebazani Noto before Yom Tov, and he's figuring, I'm just going to check them all tomorrow, then we're saying it's also Dezimnin, the Mishtachi, Shmenim, Choshim, Choshim, Shmenim. Because then sometimes you're going to have the ones that he thought were fat are really skinny, or koshim shmeinim, and vice versa. And then he's going to end up handling something that he's not that is not suitable for him to use, and therefore he's handling mukta.
Could he have the machshava on all of them?
So can he have the machshava on all of them? So the answer is it depends. If there's a chance that he might end up needing all of them on Yom Tov, then yes, he is allowed to. But if not, then no. And if he does that, if he tries that, then he's not going to be able to use any of them, because that's the equivalent of not making any of them mochan at all. That's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch.
Make sure
he gets time. Yeah. It's true. We don't have birdhouses. Bechlal, actually, now that you mention it, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that even though you have all these halachas about shechting on Yom Tov, lemaisa nowadays, we're not knowing to do it, because nowadays we have a much higher incidence of chafis than they did in the olden days, and therefore there's a good chance that you're going to end up, that the animal that you shech is going to be chafa, so lav dafka do we shech on Yom Tov. I think it says that.
Birds,
maybe not. Maybe you're right. I don't know. Okay.
Birds
also have chafers, of course, but it's much less common. But birds is much less common, yeah.
Every other one.
It also depends. Maybe not glatt, but yeah. It also depends what part of the world they come from. Okay. Anyway. You might even have a problem. You come on Yom Tov not having picked out any before Yom Tov, and you find that all of them are scrawny. And then then you're not going to have Simchas Yom Tov at all. Because he didn't check yesterday. And he's going to think to himself, you know what? I mean, in a whole birdhouse, inevitably there's going to be at least two or three good ones. And then he comes on Yom Tov and discovers that all of them are bad. When you make him pick certain ones before Yom Tov, then he knows whether on Yom Tov it turns out that they're fat or scrawny or whatever. He has no choice. Those are the ones he's going to have to take, and therefore those are the ones he's going to end up taking rather than any others.
If just in case he comes in with
one of them died. Can we put that
one? No, he can't pick out new ones, and that's in fact the next mission over here. Well, it doesn't talk about ones that are dying, but yeah, it talks about if they flew away and got replaced by others. Same idea, yeah.
Much longer.
Yes, we're going to have a much longer sugya about Breira at the end of the Masechta on the test on the test. Yeah. No. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, more on this topic of the birds. Zimin by the way, it does mention in Shulchan Aruch also, Rishonim mention all of this we're only talking about as far as like birds in a birdhouse. What happens, let's say, for example, you have chickens in your yard. Do you have to pre-designate them before Yom Tov? No, because there, you have them ready from long before Yom Tov that you plan to shech them and eat them. And they actually belong to you and mezonos and alecha. You have to feed them or whatever. Here we're talking about you have to remember that these birds, we're talking about these birdhouses. They're like half wild birds. They're like, they come in from someplace else and they fly in and
they fly in and they don't fly out again.
Well, yeah, okay, fine, but the point is they started out as wild, and later on, at the beginning of the third parak, in fact, we're going to talk about you're not allowed to feed them on Yom Tov because not mizanosim alecha. And by the way, also it does mention over there you're not allowed to trap such birds either. So all of this that we're talking about over here necessarily, as the Gemara is actually going to mention soon for a different reason, has to be talking about where these birds can't fly yet. Because if they can fly, then already you have an issue with Seder anyway. Tosfos pointed that out previously as well.
Also the fish.
Yeah. We'll get to that in the third paragraph as well, yeah. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Zimin Shchodim Amotza Levonim, if you designated before Yom Tov black ones, and then on Yom Tov you came there and found white ones, obviously they're not the same ones. Or Levonim Amotza Shchodim, if you designated white ones, and then you found black ones. Or Shnayim Amotza Shloisha, you designated two, and on Yom Tov you come and find three. Asurim, then all of them are Asur, because even in the case of the two and three, as the Gemara is going to say, obviously one of them is not one of the ones you designated. And therefore, so you have at least one in there, maybe even more than one, that's not. It's not going to be bottle, Tosfos points out, because Bali Chaim are not bottle, and also because Dabar Shiesh and Atirin, because after Yom Tov, all of them are going to be mutter.
But if you recognize these are the ones...
If you recognize these are the ones, sure, but we're not talking about that, right? Shloisho, Motzah Shnayim, Mutarin. On the other hand, if you designated three and now you found two, then it's mutter, because now we have a good reason to assume that it's the same two as before, and one of them flew away. The Soich HaKedum Motzah Lifnei HaKein, what if he designated them while they were inside the nest, and now he found them on Yom Tov in front of the nest, and didn't find any birds in the nest, Asurin, and they're Asur, because again, it might be that these are birds that came from someplace else. The im ensham elahim. However, if those are the only birds in the area, harelam utarim, then they're mutter because the other birds, there's no other bird houses close enough for birds to be able to get there. As the Gemara is going to talk about tomorrow, about that these are birds that can't fly yet; they can only walk, and they can only walk a certain distance. As the famous thing with Rabbi Yirmiya and the 50 amos from Vavasra. Yeah. Which we'll talk about tomorrow. That's the same. Okay. Anyway. So the Gemara asks Pshita, isn't this obvious? Obviously, black ones and white ones are not the same ones. So if you designated black ones and you found white ones, why does the Mishnah even need to tell us that you can't use them? Omer Rabba, Hochab, Maya Skinnan. Right, but what the Mishnah is talking about is, Kugan Shazimin Shchodim Ulevonim, what if he designated some black ones and some white ones? Now you have, let's say, so there are two black ones in one cubicle, and the next cubicle over there are two white ones. The next morning he comes and he finds the black ones are where the white ones were and vice versa. So Bapashtas then, so Maudatema, you would have thought, Hani Inhu Nimu, these are actually the same ones, these Apuchi is Hapuch, they just got switched around, they just switched places. Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah tells us, no, you can't assume that. You have to be concerned that the other ones might have flown away, and these are different ones, again, unless you have a Tzvias Ayin or something on them, and then, the Rosh, by the way, points out, this is only when they're in Shnei Kinin. If they're all in one cubicle, and you had, when you designated them, the black ones were nesting on the right side of it, and the white ones on the left side, and now the next day you find them the other way around, that's not a problem. Within one cubicle, they'll move around, sure. But the Tzlach actually points out an interesting thing in this. He says, why does the Mishnah need to use such a long expression? Zimin shchodim u'motza levonim, levonim u'motza shchodim. Just say simple, zimin elu u'motza elu, or something like that. So he says, what if you have, let's say, you have two white birds and two black birds, let's say, in one cubicle, and the same in the other cubicle. The next day, you come and find there are white ones in that one, but no black ones. Instead, there are more white ones, and the same thing in the other one. So now, maybe you could say, at least the two white ones are the same ones as from before. No, we still don't say that. So the Gemara says, Lema Mesaila L'Rab Chanina. Can we say then that our Mishnah supports what Rab Chanina says? The Amar Rab Chanina, Roy V'Karev Holoch Acha Roy. When you have a case where you have the majority, you have something that you find between two things. You don't know which one it came from. You have, in one place, you have a majority over the other. In the other one that was closer. Which one do you go according to? So Rav Chanina says you go according to Roy. In fact, the Gemara in Bava Basra talks about this. It mentions, for example, what about we see by Egla Arufa on the face of it, it's not like that. By Egla Arufa, you say you go to the Kuvahoya Yerakreva, the closest city is the one that brings the Egla Arufa. And in fact, the Gemara says over there that actually maybe that would only apply if all the cities nearby have the same population. If you have one that has a larger population, in fact, you would have to go according to that one based on Rav Chanina's rule. We had something about this in Shtolim a while back as well, that for example, you have over there the boxes, the pushkas in the Bismikdash that with money in them for different purposes, and if you find coins between them, then which one do they belong to? So Rav Chanina says that you go according to Roiv, so on the face of it over here also, we're saying, after all, the black ones that you're finding in the next cubicle over, those are, on the one hand you have Korov, they could have come from the next cubicle over, which are the ones that you designated before Yavdav. On the other hand, you have Roiv birds in the world that you didn't designate before Yom Tov, and you're telling us that you have to assume the black ones came from there. So wouldn't that prove what Rav Chanina says? The answer is not necessarily. Because Omer Abaye B'daf, like Abaye says, to explain the sefer of the Mishnah, that we're talking about a case where there's a shelf in front of the birdhouse. So you have the birds that nest inside the birdhouse. You also have, because there's this ledge out there, other birds from other places come and sit over there also. They won't go inside because the birds inside will kick them out. But they will go and sit on the ledge over there. So therefore, so this, and if the other birds go out of the nest, then these squatters will right away come in. So therefore, so when you have a daf over there, then you have more reason to be concerned about Roy. But you're right. Maybe in fact, if there's no daf over there, maybe you don't need to be concerned about that because maybe we'd go according to Korei. The halacha is, in fact, like Rav Chanina, that Roy Vekarav Halachacha Roy, but you don't necessarily have a proof from it from our Mishnah unless you have it, because the case in our Mishnah can be where you have a daf.
If it's a daf, it's a Roy Vekarav together.
Well, I mean, I don't know that the ones that are on the daf themselves are the Roy, but yeah. Well, it's small, but it's still, the point is that you have roiv because any birds from the whole rest of the world can come and nest on, can come and sit on there. So therefore, you have now, once there's a daf over there, then you have a roiv of birds from the whole world to consider, as opposed to, if there's no daf over there, how many birds are you going to have that are able to get in? Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Shnayim umotza shloisha asurim. And by the way, an interesting point is one. That now you have both Korev and Roiv, yeah. An interesting point, by the way, is that the Gemara is going to later on bring the statement of Abaye in connection with the Sefer. Why, in fact, didn't Abaye specifically mention it on the Reisha, such that we have to say, like Abaye says later, Badaf, so here also Badaf. And the reason is because later on you actually have Abaye and Rava arguing at the end of our Mishnah when we talk about the case of the Seicha Kain or Motza Lifnei Kain, whether we're talking about involving a daf where Abaye says yes and Rava gives a different reason. Here, everybody would have to agree that it's talking about there's a daf because there's no other way to make it work. We said Shnayim or Motza Shloisha Asurin. If you designated two and later on you find it to be even the Asur, because Manafsha, because no matter how you look at it. If all three of them are different ones, well then they're different ones and they weren't designated. Even if not, you have one mixed in together with them. And again, there's no Bittul because it's Bali Chayim and because Zavashi Yashmanatir. We said shloisho matzah shnayim mutarin. If you designated three and then you found two, then they're mutarin. My time, because we can assume hani inu ninu, these are in fact the same ones. But chad minayim ozalam, one of them flew off. Tosfos says the fact that usually we wouldn't say. I mean, again, it's davar sheyesh lematzirin. Why would we be nakel? Because since you have two left over here, there's a good reason. It's almost like a glayim ladavar to say that these are probably the same two. The Gemara says, "Lema masnisin Rebbe he v'loy Rabbanan." Would we have to say that our Mishnah is only according to Rebbe and not the Rabbanan? The Tanya, he niach mona o motzah masayim. What if a person put down someplace a mona of ma'isa sheni, and later on he comes and finds 200 a mona is 100 zuz, and later on he finds 200? So we have to assume chulin a ma'isa sheni mu'raven zebazed divir Rebbe. Rebbe says you have to consider that now you have chulin and ma'isa sheni mixed together. So what you do is Rashi said you take the nicer coin. You know, in those times coins are the value of them depended on how good a condition they're in, how much metal they have in them, because they wear out over time. So you take the better one. You say if this one is the one of ma'isa, then good, and if not, then I'm machalol the other one on it. Tosfos actually disagrees and says what you need to do is you need to first be machal them on copper, and then you machal that on silver again, because you can't be machal directly silver on silver. On the side over here, it mentions that actually in Psochim, where you also have this, Braisa mentioned, Rashi and Tosfos have exactly the opposite opinions. Rashi uses Tosfos' explanation over here, and Tosfos there uses Rashi's explanation over here. Anyway, but the fact is, Tosfos on different Masechtas are from different yeshivas, so they always point out you can't ask questions from Tosfos in one Masechta on Tosfos in a different Masechta, because they're not necessarily from the same Baalei HaTosfos. Unless it says Rabbeinu Tam or Ri or whatever, yeah. Anyway, okay. So Divrei Rebbe. So that's what Rebbe says. You have to consider the original mana is still there and it's mixed in together with another mana. The Chum say, no, you can assume that all of it is chulin. Since you didn't find exactly what you found, we can assume you must have taken out the mana of Ma'aseh Sheni and put it someplace else, and then you put these and you forgot, because the person doesn't usually put chulin and Ma'aseh Sheni money together. Because of the fact, because the Ma'aseh Sheni money has to be treated differently than chulin, so usually a person is not going to put them together. What about Hiniach Masayim Motzah Mona? What about the other way around, which is more similar to the case of our Mishnah? He put 200 and he found only a Mona. Mona Munach or Mona Mutzel Dibri Rebbe. So Rebbe says, okay, the Mona that remains is the Mona, is one Mona of Ma'aseh Sheni. The other one must have gotten lost. V'chamra Makol Chulin, the Chum say, again, all of it is Chulin, because you didn't, why would you have separated it? If you have to take Ma'aseh Sheni money to your Shalayim, why would you have separated out one mana and left the other mana there? More likely, you took out the 200 and put it someplace else, and then you put a mana of Chulin in there and then forgot about it. So the point is, based on that, in our Mishnah, when we designated three birds and we have two left, based on the Chachamim, according to the Chachamim's shita over there, we should say that we have to be concerned that these are different birds. Only Rebbe would say we can attribute that it's the same ones. So our Mishnah would be only according to Rebbe. The answer is no. You could say that it's according to the Rabbanan as well. The fact is that birds are different because they regularly move around. They walk in and out. A mana doesn't move by itself. So the Gemara says, actually, why do you even need that answer? Wasn't there further said on that within Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lazar's opinion, where they're saying that the gozlus dasu in the dadis, they themselves point out that Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lazar have a different machloikas on that. Chad omer b'shnei kisim machloikas. One of them says the whole machloikas is if the two monas were originally in separate bags. So then we can talk about, did you maybe take one bag and leave the other, or did you take both of them? But if it was all in one bag, then this Manda almost says everybody would agree it's chulin, because you're not going to put Ma'aseh Sheni and chulin in the same bag. The other one says the other way around. The machloikas is when it's in one bag. But if it's in separate bags, then everybody would agree that one is the original one and the other one is, and that one of them was taken away and the other one was left. So if they're two separate bags, right? So now, looking at that machloikas, if we say that the whole machloikas Rebbe and the Chachamim is when you have two money bags, then birds are similar to that. Then you have to say, the fact is, even with two bags, you're saying that Rebbe and the Chachamim are disagreeing. Therefore, the only way to make it work, to make our Mishnah work one to everybody, would be to say that there would be to say that gozlas are different because they move around unlike money bags. But if you say the whole machloikas Rebbe and the Chachamim is only when it's all in one bag, whereas if it's in two bags, then everybody agrees that one mana was taken and the other mana was left. So why do you even need an explanation, a separate explanation about the birds? You're saying they don't argue about two money bags, and birds are in effect, the same as money bags. It's two separate birds. So according to that, we wouldn't even need the answer that birds move around unlike money bags. The fact that we're using that answer seems to be only according to one side of the machlokes, between Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lazar. But what, according to the other side, why do we even need to answer that? The answer is, Amar Rav Ashi, Hocha begozlos mekusharim, bekisim mekusharim askinan. Because here we're not just talking about that the birds are, here we're talking about where the birds are tied together or the money bags are tied together. So, in other words, when we say the kis echad machloikas, we don't mean literally in one money bag. We mean two bags, but they're tied together, so in effect, they're like one bag. So then the difference is, gozlus menachi adadi, birds are going to pull one against the other, and therefore they're more likely to get detached one from the other. Kisim menachi adadi, whereas money bags don't do that, and therefore we have much more reason to say that everything that was there before is what's still there now. Eventually, you separate. I mean, you cut the rope between them, but the point is that, right. So therefore, you can assume mona munach or mona moto. Given that they don't move away by themselves, then right. If we only find one there, it must be that somebody took one out. The Rebbe Amalach, whereas Rebbe will answer you, he will say, now that's not a valid distinction. Kisinami zimnin de misacho kitchaihu. Because even when it comes to money bags, sometimes the knot might get untied. So therefore, you might have, when a person came to take one of the bags, the knot was already untied, and he grabbed one and went, and therefore Rebbe still has reason to say, mona munach, mona muto, that out of the two mana that was there, one of them was taken, and the other one was left. It's not necessarily, when you pick up one, the other one is automatically going to come with it. So he would say, in other words, that money bags are the same as gozlus. And the gozlus is fine. They themselves are pulling apart. By money bags also, you could say they themselves don't pull apart, but the knot might get undone.
Even if it will linger around for a long time.
It might.
I mean, right away after you knot it together, then a short,
well, that
short
depends.
Time,
right. Well, that's a, I guess that depends how that... First of all, if it was that short a time, you'd remember whether it was Maaseh Sheni or Chulin. But besides that, also, it really depends. You know, some people don't really know how to tie knots well. And, you know, think of, you know, your kids or your grandchildren, you know, tie their shoes, and 5 minutes later, they're untied again, you know. So, yeah. So not necessarily. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about money anyway. You're not handling money on Yom Tov. No. The one about Maaseh Sheni and Chulin has nothing to do with Yom Tov. We're just giving that. We're just saying, would we say by analogy that in the case of the birds over here, only Rebbe would hold what we says in the Mishnah over here or not? So actually, now the Maskana, do we accept this point that our Mishnah is talking about Dafka where the birds are tied together or not? So actually, the Tzlach discusses it and says maybe not. After all, what Rav Ashi is saying depends on this machloikas Rav Yechon and Rav Elazar. We have to first figure out who the halacha is like in that machloikas before we can say whether we're talking about over here, whether the same din would apply to birds that are tied together, where you have reason to assume that these are the same birds and one flew away. And he learns the Rambam to be saying that as well. On the other hand, the Alter Rebbe discusses in Hilchos Yom Tov, he has a long Kuntos Achron on this, where he discusses and brings proofs from many Rishonim, and also learns the Rambam that no, in fact, the Rav Ashi's explanation of Gozlus Mekusharim does end up being valid, and if they are Mekushar, then you Taka can say that these are the original birds. You're not going to say that they may have broken apart and flew off and these are different ones. Okay. Shabbat, everyone.